Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
Have your Bibles, Matthew chapter 4. We'll start with verse number 17. It says that from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Today I want to teach on this thought, "Follow me." Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for this wonderful word. Thank you for your presence, and thank you, Lord, for this great place you've given us to come and worship and learn of you. Bless the teaching of your word today. Help me, Lord, to say something that will help us all, to encourage us and challenge us, to change us, make us more like you. Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise before you're seated. God's a great God. Great God. You can be seated. Thank you for being in the house of the Lord. I love this simple little story of Jesus interrupting someone's everyday life. He said that he, in his preaching, he came upon these two brothers, and they were there casting nets into the sea, for they were fishers. He gives us a brief description of their life, what they did. That was their occupation, their livelihood. It was a daily thing for them. And as they were going about a day that was just like any other day, here comes Jesus into their life. And when he comes into your life, he's going to challenge you with something. And the challenge to them was, "Follow me. Come follow me. Come with me and let me change what you are now. This is what you do. You're fishermen. You know what you're doing. You're catching fish. This is your livelihood. It takes care of people. This fishing that you're doing now is vital for your family, for you, for others, probably for their village. They probably sold fish to others or caught fish for extended family, whatever it was, how it worked. But their occupation was not just for sport. This wasn't for a tournament, for a trophy. This was for their life. But he said, "I've got another thing for you to fish for. And in this fishing, it will also be for the benefit of others. It'll be for people's lives. And so, but I'm going to come to you who know nothing about me. You've heard about me probably through scripture and teaching in the synagogue, but you don't know me yet. You haven't met me, but here I am. And I'm going to come to you, fishermen, tired, weary, stinking, wore out fishermen." When you fish, you're going to smell. No way around it. And just, he comes to these people who are so unlikely and says, "I've got a proposition here. Follow me and let me change your life." I'm so thankful when Jesus interrupted my life. When he walked right into my everyday, he came right into my situation. He came right into my life, and it was going the way I was letting it go. You know, I thought I had my hands on the wheel, but actually he knew where I was, and he just stepped right in into my life, right in the middle of all my mess and my doings and any plans I had, and said, "Hey, I got a proposition for you. Follow me. I need you to come with me and let me make something different out of your life." You know, whether you realize it or not, you influence people whether you're in church or out of church. Somewhere, somehow, you influence somebody. Most of the time, when we were out of church, we were bad influences. I mean, I know I was. I was a bad influence. I had to be. There was nothing good in me. There was nothing. Somebody could look and say, yeah, I want to be like him because that's a good quality. No, that wasn't the kind of person that I was. But the Lord knew he has influence. I just need to get him focused in the right direction. I need to get him using that influence in the right manner. I need to talk with him and get him to follow me so that he can learn some things. Aren't you glad that Jesus said, follow me? Do you remember where you were when, you know, maybe it wasn't those two words as you were praying that God just said, follow me, but somewhere, sometime the drawing of the Spirit, it got your heart, conviction got you, and you realized, I've got to go after this man. I was thinking about this, just thought we were traveling, I think from either down to or either from when we went on that cruise, and we were following the guys in front of us because I didn't know right where we were going, had an idea but didn't know, so I was following in it, and the thought came to me, you know, many times as followers, if we get lost, we will blame the leader. But the follower has a responsibility to keep up. You must be a good follower, not just a good leader. Now, when you're driving somewhere, some people, you know, say, hey, just follow me. And they forget you're back there, and they just leave you. And you couldn't keep up because you're like, you're driving like a fool. I'm not driving like you. And so I'll just figure it out. But you don't have to worry about that with the Lord because he's the perfect leader. But there is still a responsibility for us to be good followers. I want to do that. The word in this text where he said, follow me, is actually, when you look it up in Strong's, it gives you two words to look up to define it. The first word in the Greek, and I'll skip pronouncing the Greek just to save you, but the first word is, it means come hither or come here. I need you to come here. So when he said, follow me, he was telling them, come here. You've got to come to me. The second word is get behind and follow. So he's saying, come here, get behind me, and follow me. And then it says, straightway they left the nets and followed him. That word followed means to be in the same way with. So he said, come here, get behind me, and follow me. And they immediately dropped their nets and got in the same way with him. That's the message that Jesus is trying to tell people today. If you're going to get to where I want you to go, you must come here, get behind me, follow me, get in the same way with me if you're going to make it to where I'm going. I want to be a good follower. Now, Jesus never did anything just for the sake of doing it. It was always, the scripture tells us, he did these things as an example to us. He wanted us to learn something. He wanted to teach. And that's what he told them. I will make you, or I will teach you. I will instruct you. I'll show you how to be fishers of men. So it wasn't just about, hey, let's go from one town to the next town or one place to the other, from one situation to the other. He was trying to get them more than just geographically out of that region. He wanted them to follow him in a different manner. So not just about moving from place to place. So you need to be good followers because I'm going to make something. I'm going to take you somewhere. And what I've learned is when you follow somebody, if you follow them enough, have you ever followed somebody more than once to a place, say, hey, I'll just follow you, that eventually there's a transition happening that you don't even realize that you are transitioning into being able to be a leader because you're learning the way. And eventually you will be able to tell someone, hey, follow me. And that's why the text of the message today is not just what Jesus said, follow me, so us following, that's a given, we're going to follow him, but the job for us and what he wants out of us is for us to be able to do the same thing that he's done. Remember what he said? The things I've done you will do, and greater things shall you do. He's got an expectation in his disciples that they will eventually go from being simply followers to followers still of him, but leaders of others. A good follower is a good leader. You can't be a good follower if you're not a good leader. You won't be a good leader if you're not a good follower. You've got to, this transition begins to happen, and God is preparing us to lead. So to be like Jesus and to be able to say to others, follow me, I've got to be a good follower so that I can be a good leader. We must be good and faithful followers. We want him to say, well done, good and faithful servant. A good and faithful servant is a good and faithful follower and also a good and faithful leader. You don't drop one role for the other. They merge together. We never stop following him, but then we start leading others. Not, you know, and sometimes it's almost immediate. Sometimes people, you know, they come into the church and God gets hold of them and call them. It happened with the disciples. When they saw Jesus, they found him. Immediately they run, get their brother, get their family. Hey, come, we found him. We found him. Come see. They were telling people right away how to get to him. Don't know nothing but how to tell you how to get to him. That's all I know. But come and see. Just come and see. And that's what happens with new converts a lot of times. They're just telling their friends, hey, come and see. Come see this. Come try this. Come check. What happened? I don't really know, but you've got to come and see what happened. A little humorous. I mean, watching the excitement and the fascination of new converts when they're filled with the Holy Ghost first time. Maybe I've seen people that were filled with the Holy Ghost fell out or shouted their way across the front, didn't even realize what was going on, and they get through and they're like, what is going on? What's happening? They don't know. They don't understand it yet, but they're telling all their friends the next day at work or at school, man, I got filled with the Holy Ghost. I spoke with tongues. I fell out on the floor. And people, they're looking at them like, what? No, just come and see. If you'll just come and see, you'll find out. And that was kind of how it was when I came into the church. I came, I saw, and it got me. And, you know, so that's learning very early on as a follower how to start leading. Just get them there. The woman at the well, she just had one conversation with Jesus, but she went back to the city and she said, come meet a man that told me all I ever did. Is not this the Christ? This is one conversation in. And she's bringing droves of people to see Jesus. And then they would say, well, now we believe not just because you said it, but because we've heard him for ourselves. She immediately became a leader even as she was trying to learn how to follow. That's how it happens. That's how he begins to make you fishers of men. When we follow someone, we stay behind. We make sure we can see them. If I'm following somebody, I like to keep them in sight. Now, if I know we're on the same highway for maybe 300 miles, I know they're up there somewhere if I lose sight for a moment. But if they stay out of sight, maybe they get off an exit I don't realize. Maybe they make a turn or something I don't understand, and then I end up passing them. A follower will never pass the leader. We never go past Jesus. We never go past what he wants us to do. We want to be a good follower. We can never say, Lord, I know where we're going. Just you hang back. I got this. No, we follow him. So when we're following someone in the natural, we want to make sure we see them so we can see every turn, every stop they make, because we want to get to the same place. That's why we're following them. We want to get to that place that he has gone away to prepare. That's why we are following. We want others to get to that place that he has prepared. That's why we are leading. That's why we are following and leading. Now, we don't have a physical form in this life to follow. And Jesus knew that in about 3 years, they won't either. So I've got to put some things in them now. I've got to teach them some things, tell them some things. He wanted them, you know, to get behind, not just in a physical sense that they were walking behind him, but he wanted them to get behind who he was. He wanted them to get behind the message. I tell my wife a lot of times, she'll say, mention, hey, we're going to have this for supper. I said, I can get behind that. That means I like that. I'm all for that. I'll support that, you know. And that's what he said, I want you to get behind this message. I want you to get behind who I am, the Savior of the world. I want you to get behind the teachings that I'm going to give you. I want you to understand these things so that you can lead other people correctly into the kingdom of God. They were never going to be without a leader, because he told them, he said, when I go away, I will send the Spirit of truth, and he will lead you. If someone's leading you, he will lead you into all truth. There, you've got to follow. He said, the Spirit will come and be your guide. He will be your leader. He'll lead you into all truth. But I want to be a good follower. So what does that mean? Does it mean just simply believing? It can't be. It's got to be more than just belief. We talk about discipleship, but we must also make sure that we become disciples. We don't want to spend... You can start trying to disciple people if you believe, but if you are not a disciple yourself, eventually you're going to run out of things to teach them, to say to them, and you're going to leave them stuck. It's like following someone and then running out of gas. I can't go any farther because this is all you have told me. So belief and discipleship must meet. They must be joined. They must get married. They must become one. And then do as the Lord said when Adam and Eve and different ones that were married, he said, now go and replenish the earth. That's what fishers of men are doing. We're replenishing the earth with people who want to be disciples of Jesus. We're replenishing the kingdom. We're supposed to multiply. We can't just stay, okay, there's just this many believers, because if we don't do anything else, if we're not leading anybody else, eventually we start dying off. And then there is nobody. That's why a church that will not reach out, they're not going to exist forever. They may exist as long as people stay alive, but eventually they're just going to dwindle down to nothing, and they can't support the work. They can't support the building. They can't do anything. So they end up people go here and there, and because they were not leading people. They just said, well, we're followers. You're not just following, or you're not being a good follower if you're just sitting around enjoying Sunday service. If you're going to follow him, you'll be like him. And you go and interrupt people's lives. You step into their ordinary day by day. You find these fishermen. You find these mechanics. You find these teachers. You find these grocery store clerks. You step into their life and say, come meet a man. Come meet a man. Come meet the Savior. Do you know who I'm talking about? Come and see what he can do for your life. Let me lead you to him. Let me take you to where he's at. It's got to be more than just a change of location. That's not all that Jesus was talking about. You've got to see what he was trying to tell them. There has to be a change of heart. That's why the Lord said, I would take out the stony heart that is within them and replace it with a heart of flesh, and they will be. They will keep. They will do. He said, something happens. They start doing and working and loving and living for me when I change that heart. We've got to let there be a change of heart in our life. We've got to grasp the message, the idea, and the ways of Jesus. We need to live as he lived, love as he loved, feel his passion. We must forgive as he forgave, have mercy, give hope to people as he did. That's what it means to be a follower. We are picking up the habits. We're driving. We're in the same way as him. When it said they followed him, that word followed, again, it means to get in the same way. We're going to be in the same way. We're not going to do it different than Jesus did. Now, I know he didn't have, you know, cell phones and things like that, but he was everywhere. People said, the internet's everywhere. Well, guess what? So was he. He sees it all. There's nothing that he doesn't understand. But I know we have different methods of things, but we're not going to save people any differently than the way he did. We're not going to, there's no new truth given to us that we're going to tell people that he didn't have. We're not going to be a different type of fishermen than what he intended us to be. Fishermen of men will always fish the same. That's, I mean, like I say, not again, now, there may be different methods, but with what you're doing, it's going to be the same. It's got to have the same end result, that we are making disciples of Jesus. We were trying to get people to be like him. And one of the big ones, if we're going to be good followers of him, if we're going to do that, is to be obedient. Don't mistake belief or confuse belief with obedience. You can believe and not obey. We've talked about that many times. I can see the speed limit posted. It says 70. I believe the law. It's 70 on this road. It is 70 miles an hour. You better believe it. But I'll go 100 because I'm not obeying. I'm thinking, there's nobody watching. I can drive as fast as I can. Guess what? Ever get them? Be careful when you're going through school zones now. Yeah, especially if you have a Mustang. Because I got a nice little letter in the mail the other day. It had a picture of the rear end of my car. 58 and a 45. Good thing it wasn't during school hours. It'd been 58 and a 35. So I fussed and then I paid it. But the thing is I knew. Because I've been careful about watching, but every once in a while you just find your foot in the pedal. So belief and obedience aren't the same. But you need to believe to obey. No doubt about that. That's a big one. To be obedient and fulfill our role just like he fulfilled his. Now, Scripture says, Paul wrote that Christ was obedient unto the death, even the death of the cross. That was how obedient Jesus was to what was written for him. In Hebrews, it said that through his suffering, he learned obedience. I didn't give you the scripture, but can you pull up Hebrews 5, 8, and 9? Hebrews 5, 8, and 9. Let's go to that right quick. It's such a good scripture. Though he were a son, let's just stop, talk about that for a minute. No special privileges, no shortcuts. I've got to do what was written for me. I've got to do the things I've heard. I've got to do what the prophets already said. This plan's been in place since the foundation of the world. And even though I'm a son, I have to be obedient. Even though we are, the Bible says, now are we the sons of God. We still have to be obedient. We've been washed in the blood. We've been filled with his spirit. We are adopted into the body. We cry, Abba, Father. But all of that doesn't stop us from being obedient. We don't get to say, hey, I'm your favorite. You know me, I'm at church every Sunday. I can get away with this. No, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Don't give up in suffering. It's teaching you a lesson. He said, I learned obedience through the things I suffered. I learned how to do things right. Obedience is learning how to do things right, do them in the right frame. And I learned how to do that through my suffering. He didn't quit in his suffering. He didn't get mad and shake his fist at God in the suffering. During the suffering, he said, I'm learning something in this process. And it made him perfect, complete. So he becomes the author. He becomes the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Not all of them that believe in him, but all of them that obey him. So he becomes who he is through his obedience, through his sufferings, through his walking. Even Jesus, as he is walking this earth, is doing the things that were written for him. That's why he will say, you know, I could stop this. I could call angels. I could stop it right now. I could say, nope, I'm not going through with it. I'm not going to do it. Then how would the scripture be fulfilled? How would this plan, how would I ever be able to finally say it is finished if I stop it now? So if we're going to be like him, we will learn obedience. That means sometimes we might suffer. He was obedient to the death of the cross. Jesus said, take up the cross and follow me. In those same teachings, he would say, if you try to save your life, you will lose your life. But if you lose your life for my sake, you will save your life. So Paul would say, I die daily. We talk about repentance, and that's something we need to do. But Paul said, every day that I'm following him, I am taking on this cross, and the cross is an instrument of death. It reminds me that I am dead to the world, dead to sin, dead to the worldly ways. I've got to die daily, lose this life so I can save this life alive. That's why Paul could finally say, well, I'm ready to be offered. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to be offered. I've finished my course. I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. I stated I kept following. I was a good follower. And so when we follow completely. We follow wholeheartedly, not part-time and not partially. That's different. We don't do this just on Sundays and Wednesdays. That's part-time. It's every day. And we don't do it partially. We don't keep the things that we like and throw out the stuff we don't like. We follow him completely in every single thing. And don't be discouraged because it takes time. You're learning the whole time that you're following him. You will never stop learning as long as you're following him. He will always. You can't know all the wisdom that God has to give you in one instant. And he gives you that over and over through trials and tests. You learn things. You go through things. You get experience. That's why tribulation brings patience, and patience experience. You learn to survive things. You experience things. And the disciples, 3 years of following him physically before he turned them over to following the Spirit. You know, that could roll over into us. You know, people get so quick to want and hunger for spiritual things, and we should. But the Lord knows what you'll do with what he gives you. The disciples were upset at Samaritans that wouldn't welcome Jesus, and they said, hey, you want us to call fire down out of heaven and burn them up? And he said, you don't know what spirit you are of. I'm walking with you, I'm teaching you some things, and you hadn't learned nothing yet. That shows me that some things haven't took yet, because I'm not here to destroy men's lives, I'm here to save people. And see, in our flesh, we think, if I just had this power, if I had this ability, I'd do this. But God knows what you do with it, and that's why you don't have it yet. And so don't be upset if this gift, the Bible says for us to covet these gifts, and the best gifts, and we should want the gifts of the Spirit working in our life. But he's not going to give you a loaded gun if you're not ready for it. He's not going to give you a word of wisdom if you don't know how to use it. He's not going to do those things so that you don't hurt somebody else. But if you keep following, you will learn how to use it. And these disciples did. So they followed him for these 3 years. It was a process. The preacher of Pentecost made a lot of mistakes while he was following the man of God on earth. A lot of mistakes. But you don't count yourself out. And you don't give up. You don't throw in the towel. If you really want it, get up, go after it. Because God will not withhold it if you seek and ask and knock, if you desire. And he said, I'll give you the desires of your heart. I'm here to supply all of your need. I'm here to load you with benefits. I'm here to call you out of darkness into marvels. I'm ready to work with you. I'm ready to make you something different than what you are. So don't give up over the mistakes. If you really want it, if that's your passion, if that is your desire, I want to be a better saint. I want to be a better minister. I want to be a better parent, a better husband, a better friend, whatever it is. I want to be better for the kingdom. God will help you get there. But you've got to follow. Peter is no way the same preacher that he was. You know, he sent them out two by two, and they went preaching and doing things. But he is not the same preacher that he was on the day of Pentecost that he was recorded in the Gospels. Because the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, is, he says he stood up among full of the Holy Ghost and began to speak these words. He was being led by the Spirit and preached the word that flipped the world upside down and brought the salvation message to the world. But he was preaching the part that he knew in the Gospels. He was preaching what Jesus had told him to preach. But he was learning all along the way, better for it. Still making mistakes in the book of Acts. And Paul had to withstand him and tell him, hey, that's wrong. That's not right what you're doing. But he didn't quit. He kept going. So don't quit. The scripture says, if I hunger and if I thirst after righteousness, I shall be filled. That means when I am lacking what I need, when you really have a hunger, you're wanting to get something on the inside. You want something to fill you so that you won't be hungry anymore. If you're thirsting, you know, both of these things, hunger and thirst, can kill you if left undone. And the Lord knows that there are times when you will be depleted. You have used up your resource. But if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you shall be filled. In any area that you are lacking, any area that you have need, I will supply that need. I will fill that cup. I will fill that void. I won't let you die of hunger. The problem is that a lot of hungry saints lost their appetite. And so instead of hungering after righteousness, they begin to fill it with other things. You know, it's just like I can be at home by myself. Everybody's out, so I'm at home that day because I like having those times like that. And my wife will call me, want me to bring you something to eat? And I said, no, I'll make something here. And I get up and I look and I'm like, man, I got some peas right here. I got this, I got that. I'm like, oh, then I'm going to have to cook. And so I go and get the multicolored box and pull out the cellophane wrapper and eat that Christmas tree cake. And I'm not hungry anymore, but it didn't do nothing for me. It's not good for me. It tastes good, but it's not good for me. Sometimes I'll have two. Same sitting. Boxes. Don't leave pie or cake. If you want some of it, don't leave it on my counter. My son came in the other day. Duke had made this beautiful apple pie. And he came in the kitchen. I said, ain't no more pie. He said, ain't no more pie. I said, no, there's not. And I was sitting down with the last slice. And my wife was like, you're not going to give him that piece of pie? I said, no, I'm not going to give him this piece of pie. I said, this is my pie. So, well, news you lose. Don't leave goodies in the kitchen. You better hide them. I'm saying that to say this, is that you can fill yourself with your heart's desire. That doesn't mean it's right. The heart is wicked and above everything. It's deceitful, it's wicked. You know, the scripture that people say, oh, I'm just going to follow my heart. Bad idea. Bad idea. Follow him. I'm going to follow my heart. Follow him. Because he knows your heart. And so he knows, no, your heart's going to tell you to go this way, but if you follow me, oftentimes every time you'll find he's leading me in a different direction that my heart told me to go. And so, I want to follow him completely. I want to hunger and thirst because if I'm lacking, he will satisfy that need. In this going, I may fall, but I will get up. The Bible says, though a good man fall, he's not utterly cast down. there's always the hand of the Lord waiting to lift him up and to bring him back and to restore him into the position where he can. You can't follow people while you're laying on the ground. When you fall, you stop. So you got to get up to keep going. And that's why he said he's not utterly cast down. The hand of the Lord is there to hold him up, to get him up, get him back, dust him off. Come on, let's keep going. I will make my mistakes in this walk. You might as well own that. I'm going to make mistakes, but I'm going to keep seeking. I'm going to keep asking. And I'm going to keep knocking. I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep preaching until I get it right. Because if I follow him, I will get it right. And that's the thing is, don't ever think I'll never be able to do this. Yes, you can do this. Yes, you can. You can serve him. You can follow him because he designed it that way. Even Judas was a fisher of men. Preached, went out with the others two by two and preached. Laid hands on people, saw them healed. Cast out spirits in his name. But he filled his life with something else. He was depleted in an area and he filled it with something else. And he went astray. Did the unthinkable to us. He betrayed him. So don't think that that can't happen. It can. But God designed these words to work. Follow me, and I'll make you something different. I'll make you fishermen. I'll make you what I see for you. That's why, you know, Jeremiah would say, the Lord would say, I know the thoughts I think toward you. Nobody's changing that. I know the thoughts I think toward you. I know what plans I have for you. Nobody gets to change that, but you'll never realize those plans when you stop following or you detour into another place. When Noah was given plans for the ark, the scripture records that he did all that God commanded. So in other words, he got behind the message. And as he began to follow God's word, his sons followed him. The daughter-in-law followed their husbands. The wife followed her husband. All these people followed, 8 souls saved by water. See, he didn't call us to be followers just for us. He did it for the ones that would see us, for the ones that would hear us, because we would be a living epistle read of all men, that we would be his handiwork. We would be the light of the world, the salt of the earth. That's who we would be. And so if we're going to follow as the disciples did, then they followed his word. We've got to follow and obey God's word just as Jesus did. I said this earlier, he did all that was written for him, and he was finally at the end able to say with, it was definitive, it is finished. It summed it all up. It's all done. I've done everything that was written for me. I did that. And look at what happened because he was faithful and followed to the end. You think, well, he died, yeah, so we could live. He followed for our benefit. So now we follow for the benefit of others, not just ourselves, but for others. In John 14 and 15, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And then in verse 23, he said, if a man loves me, he will keep my word. Now we know, keep or don't keep, God loves you, loves everybody. But if I want to show my love to him, it's not about sitting on this chair. It's not about writing that check every week. If I'm going to do that, I'm going to keep his commandments. I'm going to follow him. It's not about the programs I can come up with. It's not about the sermons I can craft. It's, am I following him? Am I keeping his commandments? People, you know, the people in the scripture, it says they knew the disciples by their words and their actions. That's Acts chapter 4 said they took note that these men had been with Jesus. They were unlearned. We could tell they're just, you know, they're on the lower end of the spectrum as far as society is concerned. But we can tell that they have been with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They've been with the Healer, the Savior, the Lamb. They've been with the first and the last God manifest in the flesh. They've walked with God Almighty, heard his words from his own mouth. And It changed them. It made them different. It showed something to them. They followed Christ. They didn't follow the world. I know I've got a few minutes here. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If you want to prove that you are his, that you belong to God, if you want to prove what's good, if you want to prove what's acceptable in that perfect will, then you have to become a living sacrifice. And it can't be your definition of it. It has to be holy and acceptable unto God. And when we do that, that's our reasonable service. Don't get conformed to the world the way they tell you to do it, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and you can follow him, be led by him, be led by the Spirit, be led into all truth. And that's how you prove it. You can say it all day long, but if you want to prove it, be that living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. What we love, we will follow. What we love, we will accept. Yep, and what we love, we will imitate. Your followers one way or the other. Before we came to him, we were following the world. But when we came to him, we said, I'll take up this cross daily and follow you, Lord. I will go where you go. Where he leads me, the old song says, I will follow. I'm going to jump because I know I've got just a few minutes. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Read what Paul said here, and this is where we'll come in for a landing. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 in verse number 14. Paul said, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore, I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Be you followers of me. That's the way I want to live my life. Not to have a following. I don't want a following. I don't want reputation and recognition and those kind of things. But I want to live my life in such a way, and I want to have preached this gospel in such a way and lived this gospel in such a way that it's not me boasting. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. My life is nothing without him. All glory goes to God. But I want to be able to turn around and tell somebody, I can help you get there. Follow me as I follow him. Be followers of me. And he would say in 11 and 1, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. So right there, that's the leader and the follower in one. I'm following him, I'm leading you. Following him, leading you. We're following him, but we're leading others. And when you say, that's what I want to do, you can stand with me. That's the way I want to be. Well, then get ready. Because if you're going to tell someone to follow you, you're telling them to watch you. So you're going to have to become transparent. They're going to see your mistakes. They're going to see you mess up. They're going to see you on your bad days. But they'll also see your victories. They'll also see those triumphs. They'll also see you overcome. They'll see you on the mountaintop as well. You're going to have to accept that they'll see you both ways. They'll see you brokenhearted. They'll see you rejoicing. They'll see you overcome. They'll see you overcoming. You've got to accept that. When you think how Peter must have felt in the midst of that little inner circle of 12. When he turned around and said, Lord, be it far from you. And the Lord looked at him and said, get behind me, Satan. He's still jingling the keys, man. He's so happy about that. key to the kingdom conversation they had. And some, be it far from you, get behind me, Satan. And you know, somebody went, ooh. You know, his brother probably went, that's him, that's him, that's him. You know, it was tough, but everyone who really desires to lead people into the kingdom, you don't give up easy. There's no greater, greater blessing, reward on this earth than to lead somebody to God. No, nothing greater. And it's such a great feeling that you don't give it up just because you made a mistake. Just because I love what I do. Well, I'm sure if me and the Lord sat down and we talked about all the things I got wrong in these 30 plus years, I would probably be very embarrassed and hang my head. But I'm not going to stop. I will get it right because I'm going to keep following Him. So I humble myself under the hand of God, under that mighty hand of God, so that when it's time, when it's the right season, then He can lift me to the place. That's Him making you that fisher of men, because there's no greater title given to us than fishers of men, because that was the calling. I will make you fishers of men. It's greater than anything else you could be called. I'm thankful for it today, thankful for that. So let's be followers. Let's live our lives in such a way that we can repeat the words. We quote Jesus all the time. So we ought to live in such a way that we can finally be able to look at others and say, follow me. Why? Because I can help get you to Jesus. I can't save you, but I can get you to Him. So let's pray and let that be our prayer as we just move forward. This is the end of the year. It's December 1st. It's the first day of the month. A lot of times we make decisions on this is the first. So let's get it right from the start. Let's close out the year this month following Him, reaching people, praying for people, loving people, being like Him. Amen? Praise God. Let's pray together. Lord, thank You for Your word and for Your example. Thank You for giving us such a great example of obedience that we could do the things, Lord, that You have done, and even, as You said, greater things. Lord, we know that we're nothing without You, but with You we can do all things. We can become all things to all men. We can be leaders of people, Lord, that maybe never would have given us a second thought. We can lead them to You. So help us to receive the word today, to grow in the word, to follow You, to keep our eyes on You, to get behind You, to get in the same way as You. We just praise You for that call. Thank You for interrupting our lives, Lord, stepping in. Bless us now as we get ready for the next service in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. He's great. Aren't you thankful to be a follower of Him?
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.